We've been involved in an Equip series this month, in the month of March. This is our fourth and last Sunday to talk about how we're equipping ourselves to build relationships in life-giving ways. And so we're making Jesus known, not just because it's necessary to do that and inform people about the true Jesus, but also we're in our own lives trying to make Jesus known through our own personal relationships that we can have with people in our lives. And so we're equipping ourselves to build those relationships in life-giving ways with everybody in our life. So last week we talked about to give life, give the gospel. And that's exactly what we can be doing with Easter, with these cards even, and with just simple invitations to others, whether you want to do it and share Facebook with this on it, or share our email invitation pieces, or send one mailing out yourself with a postcard. Anything like that, you are actually giving life. When we share the gospel of Jesus Christ, as we talked about last year, we're actually giving people the way to life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way being the truth and the life. And so as we give away the gospel, as we give it like the flower man gave away the flowers and transformed the community, we give away the gospel to transform lives and the whole community even. And so that was a way we equipped ourselves. The Sunday prior, we looked at mountain-moving breakthroughs. How do we get mountain-moving breakthroughs in life? And there's so many people stuck, trapped, bored even. It can be a way that people get trapped, and they need help. And we get that by continuing to pray, prevailing in prayer. Keep praying, Jesus said. Keep praying. Don't lose heart in our prayers. That was an equipping. How can we keep praying about people in our lives? And so you might find around your table there's these little 7 for heaven cards. Think about who is it in your life you can be praying for. We've talked about this. A number of you are doing this. Who can I be praying for? Even that don't have a church home or don't know Jesus. You suspect don't. How could you be praying for them that there would be a breakthrough, that God would break through in their life? You might think in their case it would be like moving a mountain. But if you're praying and keep praying for them, watch what God can do as we honor Him in our prayers. So that's another equipping moment that we've had. We also have a prayer guide that we provided, and these are available if you haven't taken one. These are free. Just take them, use them, put them in your Bible, put them in your chair time when you pray, and then specifically have some guided prayer for both those who are fellow believers in Jesus, if you're a believer, or those that are not believers. Pray for them as well. Now, we started out the whole series by this image up here about loving our neighbors. And at the very first of the month, with this equipping piece, if we love our neighbors, God says we will do well. So if you want to do well in your life, one of the things God says to do is love everybody. Just love everybody, and you will do well in your life. Do you believe that? That's kind of a, seems like, is that a real connection? That's a real connection. As we love on people with the love that God has loved on us, life goes up. We are lifted. Things go well. Things go a lot better. And so that was our memory verse for the month of March. You want to share? Let's walk through it together. Say it with me. If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. Yeah. The law of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Love your neighbor as yourself, as you'd want to be treated, treat them. Do unto others as you have them doing to you. And so that's an equipping thing. I hope you're doing that. Today we're going to talk about being prepared, all right? Being prepared to answer the wise. We need to be equipped to be able to answer people. Look at the scripture and what it says. In your hearts, revere Christ as Lord, always being prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. Always be prepared. And the emphasis is always mine on the screens when I underline italic. But God says, be equipped to be able to answer people. Answer their why questions. The questions about why Christianity? Why Jesus? So I wanted to just take a little table time with you. And your table topic this morning is simply this. What questions do people have about believing in Christianity, about believing in Jesus? What are some of the questions that people have? Just discuss it for just a few moments around your table. Come up with two or three, and I might just ask you to contribute one of them from your table if you do that. So go ahead and do that right now. All right, so give me some ideas. What are the questions today that people would ask at times about Christianity? And it could be that they're, you know, followers of Jesus, but they still have questions about some things. And there might be very skeptical. It could be like atheists, too, that are saying, well, I totally don't believe, and this is a big reason why. What would some questions be? Let's throw them out. Separate? Suffering. Why is there so much suffering and good? Especially if God is good. Suffering and evil is happening, because especially if God is good. Right, good one. That's a big one, isn't it? Okay, others? Hate? Why is hate alive and well sometimes? Seemingly. Good. Others? Is God real? Does he really exist? Would be a question that some would throw out there. Because why? We can't see him. He's invisible. He's unseen in that sense. Yes. Others? Yes. Why do bad things happen to good people? Yeah. Thanks, Carrie. Excellent. Yeah, very good. Others? You can still throw one out, but let me throw one or two out, because I have advantage on you. Christianity claims there's only one way to God. Are you kidding me? That's what they claim. Christianity claims that, right? How about the contradictions that some might say are in the Bible? What about some apparent contradictions? How would we deal with those? What about those who have never heard of Jesus? I mean, if Jesus is the only way, as Christianity would claim, well, what about those who've never heard, maybe never could hear about Jesus? Have you ever heard a reason? Christianity is kind of just a blind leap because you can't really see God, and so you're believing in something you can't see, so it's a blind leap. Isn't it enough that I'm just sincere in my belief? I mean, sincerity is a good thing in many cases, right? Very good. And you got the big ones about the whole problem with suffering and evil. And there's a problem, too, that some would have, that there's some contradictions between science and the Christian faith, right? And so these are very real. They actually are inhibitors. They're things that would cause people, place barriers in front of people coming to Christ in a way that they're going to be... some problems that people would have to work through. God says, look at the scripture again, be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. And we're to do that with gentleness and respect, obviously, in a good way. We present why we believe what we believe. And people need to hear that. Sometimes they won't ask it, but there might be ways in which that can come up, and then you have an opportunity to share, well, this is why I trust the Bible. This is why I believe in Jesus, and this is why God, I think, does exist. This is why how science can actually affirm some of the basic understandings of origins in the Bible, things of that nature, right? So there's we use whatever we can. Three weeks ago, I think we were talking about Is Genesis History, and encouraging people to go see it. Is Genesis History. How many of you be able to take that in? Is Genesis History? I'm getting the DVD. If any of you want to borrow that when it comes, I'd be happy to pass it along and have you to borrow it and look it over. Is Genesis History. I think it's a valuable resource to equip us, right? There's another resource coming up, an equipping resource. We're going to show a video on that right now. The Case for Christ.
If somebody wanted to do an investigation into Christianity, where would you start?
If the resurrection of Jesus didn't happen, it's a house of cards.
You sure you want to give me that loaded gun?
I'm pretty sure you're not going to be able to pull the trigger.
I've spent my entire career as a journalist uncovering the truth. Until the day my wife presented me with the biggest story of my life.
I'm not going to lose my wife and my kids to something that I can't even reason with.
And what happened next changed me forever.
How can we even talk about historical evidence for the resurrection?
The Gospels are filled with contradictions.
The empty tomb is based on evidence. And isn't evidence your trade?
We all bet our lives on something.
The question is, what's it going
to
be?
As much as I would like to help out a fellow skeptic, what you're proposing is impossible. could Jesus survive being spiked to the cross?
There is no evidence of anyone ever surviving a full Roman crucifixion.
Just because I write something down and I bury it in the dirt, it doesn't make it true.
What I felt was something more real than anything I've ever felt in my life.
I'm praying for you.
Do you really want to know the truth, or is your mind already made up?
Stop blaming me and the church and God and do your job.
No one's ever proven if the shroud is the actual burial cloth of the Christ. But whenever someone looks in those eyes for the first time, suddenly becomes a real person.
Okay, that's coming up. It's a pre-Easter film, I would just recommend it. I'm going to go see it and try to take as many as I can. And it's a true story of Lee Strobel, who struggled as an atheist with coming to faith in Jesus Christ because his wife did, and then he was, you know, living in a house split kind of in respect to faith. And so true story of his journey, and he's written a book called The Case for Christ, and just kind of recommend it. Use it as a resource. It'll be of value as far as equipping you, and it'll also perhaps boost or lift your faith a little too. I always enjoy getting into what are called apologetics. Apologetics is where it talks about the defense of our faith and how to contend for our faith. Do we really understand our faith enough to be able to explain it to someone else in a compelling way? Are we using evidences? Are we using things that are appeal to a reasonable mind, as well as just the idea that, you know, there is a God who deeply loves us, understanding that? There's evidence behind some of these things that we place our trust in. And so I find that of great value. We have the Right Now Media subscription as a church, so you can actually get that subscription. Some of you have gone on through the email and got in there. If you go in there, there's a ton of resources. Just put the word apologetics in, and you will come up with a number of studies that you can look through, just media-driven. You can do it on your smartphone, and you can go through some of these kinds of things and become better and better equipped. This is one of the things we want to be able to do with ourselves. We want to become as equipped as we can to help anybody that might ask us why we have this hope in Jesus. God wants us to, and so we're led to want to do that as best we can. The crowning evidence of the Christian faith is something that's celebrated annually called Easter. Really, we celebrate it on a Sunday-by-Sunday basis. The early church met on Sundays because Sunday, the first day of the week, was actually the day Jesus rose from the grave. And so by meeting on Sunday, we're commemorating Jesus' resurrection. Every Sunday, we could say, is a resurrection day. But, you know, through the years, Christianity has placed Easter as an annual event to celebrate the resurrection. We're going to do that, obviously, in a big way, as big a way as we can. But I want to just preface, you know, Easter, for our sakes, as we might have conversations with people during Easter, why can we trust the resurrection? That's the question I'd like us to ask and answer. See, if we don't believe in the resurrection, if the resurrection hadn't happened, if it's not true that there was a resurrection, then the Bible says we're in trouble. In fact, it says this in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. It's like it's empty. It's vain. You're still in your sins if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead. Those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost as a result, because we wouldn't have a resurrection either, those that had died. If only for this life we hope in Christ, we have the most people, we are of all people most to be pitied. Now, so this is pretty important that there's a case for Easter, there's a case for the resurrection. And I'd just like us to be equipped this morning with just simply three of the evidences that we use to support the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Just three simple ones. And I'm going to have them all start with the letter E. And you can see that if you're following along on your handout at the tables, you can just write these in. These are ones I'm hoping you can take away and have in your mind. And as you talk to somebody, you can say, hey, you know, we're going to this new church called The Branch, and we talked about the resurrection. Easter's right around the corner. And, you know, I learned this about the resurrection that really helps me to, again, just substantiate that this thing is real. And I'm so glad it is, because I'm looking forward to being raised from the grave one day, right? So let's look at the first one. The first E is simply empty tomb. Empty tomb. And if you look at the scripture there, this will be on the screen, but you can also follow along in your Bibles. This is over in Matthew 28 and verse 6, one of the stories about what happened after Jesus was raised from the dead. The angel said, he is not here, as the women came looking for Jesus. He's not here. He has risen, just as he said. Note that. Just as he said. He has risen, just as he said. And of course, he'd been in the grave since Friday, Jesus had, in the tomb. And this was Sunday, early Sunday morning. Come and see the place where he lay. And so, friends, we have a number of evidences through the story that has been given down to us in the Gospels. This one just simply shares, just looking at it just quickly this morning, it was predicted by Jesus that he would be raised from the dead. And he was. But it was also, know what the words say there, come and see the place where he lay. The tomb, the empty tomb, was inspected. It was inspected. And I imagine it was inspected by a number of people. not just these women, but there was a number of people that inspected that to be assured that the body wasn't in that tomb anyway. Where is the body of Jesus? If you didn't really believe he literally rose from the grave, where is the body of Jesus? And so the body of Jesus was searched extensively, not just by the friends, but by the enemies of Jesus. They wanted to find that body. And Jesus certainly had enemies. The Christianity rises and falls on whether the resurrection is true. So if you're not convinced of the resurrection, your own faith will rise and fall on the basis of whether you believe Jesus rose from the dead. Does that make sense? So this is a pretty important evidence. Obviously, there's other things in Christianity, like evidence that the Bible is something we can count on, that it's trustworthy, it's reliable, that kind of thing. But obviously, the resurrection is a big one. It's coming right around the corner here. This is something that can help us. Look at another scripture recorded over in Romans chapter 1. Here it says, regarding his son, that's Jesus, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, human, Jesus was, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead. Wow. Jesus' very identity as being the Son of God is verified, substantiated by this crowning miracle of a resurrection of himself from the dead. Powerful. If we could refute Jesus' resurrection, we then would collapse the entire system of Christianity. If the body of Jesus could be produced, even today, everything about Christianity would collapse. That's how important the resurrection, the bodily resurrection of Jesus is from the dead. And so, yeah, we're going to celebrate Easter because Easter shows us this incredible power of God over not just sin, but of death. Death is the last enemy, the Bible says. And so we have this incredible power that comes because of the resurrection. And of course, as we believe and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection, the gospel, as we talked about last week, right, that was passed down even to us today, is given to us, and we give it away, then, wow, we trust in that. We come to a lifestyle of repentance. We desire to follow Jesus no matter what he says. Come what may, I'm following Jesus. And then we're immersed into Christ. We're identifying with that gospel of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection when we're baptized underwater, submerged. We actually claim identification. and we rise to certainly a new life spiritually, our bodies will still continue to die. But one day, after our bodies have died, and they'll be raised again in the ultimate salvation event, the second coming of Jesus Christ, and he'll raise everybody up from the dead, and there'll be those that'll go to life eternal, and those will go to judgment for eternity. And that's the simple scope of the understanding of the gospel, and it's all reliant upon, obviously, Jesus' death on the cross for our sins. By the way, on Easter, we're going to have a bridge right here. It's going to be a bridge. Everybody have the opportunity to walk across a bridge, making some decision in their life or whatever they want to, as they would walk across the bridge. But the bridge is the cross of Jesus Christ. He died for us. Okay? But that's the first half of the story of the gospel. He was also raised bodily from the dead on the third day according to the scriptures. And that's our life. He took care of our sin, which demanded the penalty of death. He took care of that on the cross, and then he assures us of an eternal life with God forever by his resurrection from the dead. Oh, friends, it's so important that we'd have this understanding of the resurrection. Well, the evidence is there's no body. There's an empty tomb to this day. I remember this big guy way back, this is 25 years ago now, I think, something like that. This big guy, and he was studying the Bible. He didn't believe. He was studying, though, and he was being taught. And he dealt with this thing about the resurrection. And when he finally turned his life over to God and he surrendered and was baptized into Christ, somebody asked him, why? What was it that finally turned your heart to God fully? He just said, the empty tomb. The huge, huge peace for him. And I believe that it matters more than most anything else. Huge peace, the empty tomb. Let's look at the next one. The next is eyewitness testimony. Eyewitness testimony. This is some of the most compelling evidence that could be had in a court of law today. If there's an eyewitness testimony, it's just like, okay, that's just almost final proof. And the verdict goes that direction, the eyewitness testimony. Look at what the Bible says in Acts 1 and verse 3. After his suffering, that's Jesus' passion of all the way through his death, his suffering, he presented himself to them as a resurrected person now. Jesus was resurrected from the grave. He presented himself to them and gave many, look what it says there, convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Jesus took 40 days appearing over and over again, alive from the dead, alive from the dead, alive from the dead, to substantiate with eyewitness testimony that he was real, that he had died, but he had been raised, and now he has this new body. That was so important for them, friends, and I believe it is for us today. That's the eyewitness testimony that's been recorded down in our scriptures for us to have. This is powerful, powerful, powerful evidence, eyewitness testimony. Just ask anybody today in any court of law, legal evidence, eyewitness testimony, video stuff, right? That's what we have today. You get it in video and okay, it's all over with. Eyewitness testimony is powerful. And that was what we have for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So not only was a tomb empty, the body was appearing as raised from the dead. Okay? And look what it goes on to say in 1 Corinthians. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. This is primary. This is what we talked about last week. This is what we need to be equipped with, to give. Pass it along. That's what Paul did. He passed along. I passed on to you as of first importance. That's the same thing we're to do as a church today. We're to pass on or give away the gospel. Give that gospel. If we're going to give life to people, if that's the chief thing we're going to do for people in our lives, we're going to give them the gospel. We have to give them the gospel. All right, so he passed on as of first importance. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared. Notice that, and I emphasize it, to Cephas, that's Peter, and then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500, note that, that's a big number, 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time. Most of who are still living, you go around and corroborate that testimony then with a bunch of people. Powerful, powerful evidence, though some have fallen asleep or died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, then last of all, he appeared to me also as one abnormally born. And so empty tomb, eyewitness testimony. The third E is the effect on the world. There was amazing changes that had happened after Jesus was raised from the dead. After these guys got it down that he rose. Everything he said is true. And their lives were transformed. The closest ones to Jesus, absolutely transformed. That was perhaps the greatest change was in their character. They had previously been timid and they had been afraid. They'd been depressed. But after witnessing his resurrection, after seeing that over and over again over a period of 40 days, they became this aggressive band, bold, full of joy, and they took the gospel to the ends of the earth, and most every one of them, tradition tells us, was martyred for their faith in this, the resurrection of Jesus from the grave. ChristianityToday.com said this: there's no historical doubt whatsoever that a man called Jesus lived, was crucified 2,000 years ago. It's also without dispute that a group rose quickly after his death, claiming he was risen. And despite, the article goes on to say, the apparent absurdity of such a claim and vigorous attempts to persuade them off the face of the earth, this group grew quicker than any other before or since. Soon the whole Roman Empire became a Christian state without a sword being raised by the all-conquering new faith. This remarkable growth is impossible to explain without the resurrection. Wow. You probably don't even need the understanding of the empty tomb as much, or maybe even the eyewitness testimony, or even this effect. It may be the effect that Jesus had on your life since you've known him, that effect matters as evidence to you, and it should. Because just as that effect changed the whole world as it was known, the advent of Jesus and the whole Christian thought and practice throughout the centuries, what has happened to your life matters most personally, doesn't it? And he can change you, and he has, I'm sure. You can look back in your life and say, yeah, look at the effect Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, the real Jesus, the one who's alive today, the one who has power that he's given to me through his Spirit has done for me in my life and my family perhaps. That's the evidence you have too. Well, you might want to remember these three E's, empty, eye, and effect, as just that, the empty eye effect. Empty tomb, eyewitness testimony, and the effect of all that, the empty eye effect. Get a visual of that, remember it, and there you go. You can be prepared to answer the whys, the questions that people would ask perhaps, or maybe they're not going to ask it so much, but they wonder it, and you might even be able to prompt them to, would you be interested in knowing why I kind of believe in Jesus and this resurrection thing? You know, yeah, I would. Well, for one, there's an empty tomb. Secondly, there was eyewitness testimony. And thirdly, the amazing effect over the centuries. And you can go deeper than that. You can find out a lot more, and there is. And you go to the Right Now Media and you can just look up resurrection or look up apologetics or whatever, and you can find out all kinds of things. Well, I would like you to make sure, it just invite you again to fill out one of these cards. I know Lori did to begin with, but before we close our service, we have communion, and we take time to kind of just go into a response mode. One of the responses we have is just simply completing one of these cards. And don't just complete the front with your name, and just, again, invite everyone to do this, just if you're willing to, be so kind to for us. But look on the back. And there might be something here that you're prompted to say, okay, I want to take this step today and make a check mark on a box that's relevant to you right now. Maybe you want to just write out a prayer or write out a comment or ask a question. Or, you know, I'd be happy to sit down and visit with you if you just want to put down my name there to call you. And then we talk about, you know, responding to God with remembering that Jesus died for us. And when we take communion every Sunday, we proclaim his death. We're actually proclaiming it. If we're taking it, we understand it. You're invited to take it if you do, of course. You don't have to take communion here, but anybody's welcome to, even if you're here for the first time. If you kind of have an idea and appreciation for what it is, you're proclaiming his death when you take it. You're saying, okay, Jesus died for me. I'm taking a piece of bread. that, you know, it's talking about his body, and the juices represents his blood, his lifeblood that was given. And so you're proclaiming his death until he comes. And you're proclaiming that not just did he die, but he rose, and he's coming again. He's coming again. One day he's going to be here. It could be today. It could be in 2 millennia. But he's coming back because he's alive from the dead. He was raised from the dead. That's the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Let's give him thanks today and take communion as we worship in this song. And the communions are back here behind each of these, in the corners here basically. I invite you to take throughout the song here. Oh God, receive from us our thanksgiving again this Sunday for what you have done in the death of Jesus for our sin, and what you have done by raising him from the dead, securing for us life here and in eternity. We love you. Know that as we take the bread and the juice today. In Jesus' name, amen.